Last time I spoke on dreams. And you'll notice again this morning that I'm speaking on the same topic, dreams. It's still been something that's going through my mind and I haven't left it, so I'm going to pick it back up. And I've entitled this sort of, it started talking the land of the dreamer. I was thinking about that a little bit and hence why I've got that picture up there. You see, the land of the dreamer, you know, I believe it's a great theme. It's based on the idea that we all have been created by God with a sense of destiny, with a sense of purpose. You see, whether you believe in God or not makes no difference to that truth. Whether you believe in God or not doesn't mean he ceases to exist. That doesn't change that. The truth is, every single person was designed by him for a purpose. You see, we were created on purpose for a purpose. And whether you go to church or not, whether you're searching, whatever it is, we are all searching for this sense of satisfaction. We are all craving because we were actually designed that way. So we were designed that way. In Ecclesiastes, the smartest man in all the world, Solomon, says God has put eternity in the hearts of all people. There is nothing in the world that can satisfy that longing, that desire, that yearning, except for God himself. So we spend our lives seeking this desire to be fulfilled, this desire to be satisfied. So do you know, do you have the best life that you can live? And sometimes in our lives we can settle for less because life tries to steal that dream from you. Life tries to limit your vision. The spirit on the inside of you once leapt and soared, but life got around and circumstances happened and it made you think, well, I put myself out there once. I trusted God once and this happened. So now I'm going to play it a little safe, play it a little low key. The issue with doing this is that you're actually living a substandard life to the one God created you to live. As I think about that, that's a sobering thought. You know, and if you allow life to snatch that dream from in us, I feel and I believe we live far below our potential. So I want to ask you this morning, are you living your best life? The reason I ask this is my hope is that today we could reignite a dream that is inside each of you. You see, it's never too late. It doesn't matter what your age, what your stage of life. Because see, the title of my message is Go Again. I love dreams. Hence why I felt to continue this theme again today. You see, there's this story in the book of Luke. It's in Luke 8. And I'm going to be reading from verse 40 to 48. It says, Jesus heals in response to faith. That's the title of the parable that I'm going to read. Starting at verse 40, it says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You see, 12 years is a long time. Just think about what you were doing 12 years ago. You know, can you even think back that far? If you're a little bit like me, you have trouble remembering what you had for dinner last night. 12 years is a long time. You see, 12 years ago, I was 21. I was living in Queensland. But then since then, I've been married. I've had a son. I've got 2 daughters on the way. I've purchased a home. I've finished uni. I've found myself a job. A lot has happened. A lot can occur in 12 years. 12 years is a long time. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. So the same amount of time that this woman has had this health condition is the same amount of time that Jairus' daughter has been alive. And in the book of Mark, in the Amplified Version, it tells us that the woman was hemorrhaging. The word hemorrhaging comes from the Latin word which means violent bleeding or excessive blood loss. And it can be categorized into 5 different levels, ranging from mild through to debilitating and even fatal. You see, hemorrhaging has 2 causes. It's either trauma or a medical condition. Now, I hope I got that right. Like, I didn't want to look at Nick because I was like, she'll tell me if I'm right or wrong. I had a little quick look, but I'm no medical profession. Now, it doesn't tell us what the cause of her condition was, but it does tell us that she spent all her money, she spent all her resource to be healed. And one translation says, she suffered at the hands of many physicians and could not be healed by anyone. In fact, she was actually getting worse. Have you ever felt like it's just getting worse? You know, has anyone ever felt like that? Might just be me, but I know I've felt like that. You've got this situation. You're doing all you know how to do. You're putting all your time, you're putting all your energy, you're putting all your resource. And instead of it getting better, it's actually getting worse. This child I'm believing for is just getting worse. This health condition is just getting worse. So the scripture tells us that she was getting worse, even though she had done all she could possibly do. It was serious, and she was desperate. You know, I want to plonk us right in that story. About 2,000 years ago, anyone with a blood condition was considered unclean. And so the rest of the community who were clean would not defile themselves by associating with someone who was unclean. So what that meant was people with these sorts of conditions, unclean conditions, were excluded from the community and they would live outside the city. So not only is she hemorrhaging, she's also isolated and excluded for 12 years. 12 years is a long time. So we see she has suffered as a result of her condition. And it's not only impacted upon her physical body, it also impacts upon her socially as she's discriminated against and excluded for 12 years. And she's tried everything to get well. Then she hears that this infamous Jesus is in town. And she hears that he can heal people. So she heard that he was in her vicinity. And she describes that today is her day. I want us just for one moment to think about Jairus. I've spoken about him before. I can imagine he'd be frustrated that this woman has turned up and is taking Jesus' time. Many of us are on a schedule with God. So Jairus is frustrated because Jesus stops. He takes time. And Jairus is thinking, seriously, my daughter's sick. Like, she's not just sick, she's dying. Hurry up and come with me. Has anyone got a friend like that? So I can see Jairus impatiently watching Jesus interact with this lady. But as he heard her testimony, I believe he would have been filled with confidence. You know, it's good for us to hear testimony. It's good for us to hear what God is doing. It fills us with faith. It gives us even more, gets us even more inspired and encourages us to believe God can do more in our lives. My first point this morning is you have to go to the source. To capture your dream, you have to go to the source of your breakthrough. Like this woman, often we try every other option. We try everything else, so now we'll pray. We try everything else, so now I'll get connected. We try everything else out of desperation, and often the alternatives leave us dry, wanting, discouraged, and more often than not, worse off. Make us deal with frustration. Cause us to deal with all of these sorts of things. Now listen, because there are countless things that are trying to make you believe that they are the authority in your life. Countless things. Your career, your success, your stability, your security, your family, your boss, culture, the media. Everything in the world is trying to present it as your authority. And Jesus wants to bring you to a place where you discount all the counterfeit or their fraudulent authorities and go to Him as the source. He is the only source. He is the absolute authority. The Word of God is not another piece of literature that we can pick and choose from. The Word of God is like a user manual for life. If you want your life to succeed, you'll live by the Word of God. You'll live by the words and the principles found within His teaching. And these other authorities that, like this woman, we can go to, but you can't. You have to go to the source. She had finally heard the reports about what Jesus had been doing for others, and she found the courage to rise up and claim her miracle. It's good for us to hear what other people are receiving from God. You see, last weekend I was in Adelaide. I was in Adelaide with about 10 other pastors and leaders. And there was this one guy in the room. The moment he started talking, it was inspiring. You know, the moment he started talking about what God's doing in his location, in his town, I found myself leaning in saying, yeah, God, you can do that here. There's no reason why you can't do that in Narendra. You know, like he took over a church 6 months ago. It had 23 people. His church currently has 450. 6 months. Have you ever found yourself listening to a testimony, and as you were listening, you seem somewhat distracted because you start to dream about what God can do? You find yourself all stirred up and faith begins to rise and things begin to change in your spirit. The scripture tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when someone testifies the goodness of God, it's like they're prophesying over your life. So the dreamers in you are like, God, if you can do that in that person, there's no reason why you can't do it for me. They receive in that moment by faith. Testimony is important for us. The testimony of someone else's breakthrough points us in the right direction. But we have to go to the source. Between you and Jesus, there is always a crowd. There is always a crowd stopping you from getting to Jesus. I've got some helpers. Can my helpers come out? I've got a little analogy. So Zach's going to be Jesus. So he's going to stand over here. Okay? Apart from the real Jesus, he's not quite there. Okay? But he's going to pretend to be Jesus. And then we've got all these other, we've got the crowd. We've got the crowd. Yeah. Okay, so this is the crowd. You see, over there, Jesus is not any less willing. He's not any less engaged. He's not any less interested in you or the situation. And over here, I'm going to be the person. Over here, just pretend I'm standing there. Over here, you are not any less valuable. You are not any less called. You are not any less important. But between the two of you is a crowd of things, of reasons for you not to receive your miracle. Between you and Jesus are 101 excuses why you should not receive, why you will not receive your miracle. A whole bunch of things. Well, for this woman, she was on the outskirts of town. She was excluded. She couldn't be any further away from her miracle. She wasn't allowed to go into this community. She was unclean. She was as far away as she could possibly be. And sometimes that's how we feel. Jesus is all the way over there, and I have 1,000 reasons why I will never get what he says he will give me. But she decides one day that she's going to do the illegal thing. She's going to push through the crowd. Me, an unclean person, is going to push through the crowd and do the illegal thing so I can get to Jesus. We have to, as dreamers, allow that spirit to rise up within us. That spirit that says, I'm going to the source. I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to push past every obstacle, every option, every excuse, every fear. Because there will be 101 reasons why you shouldn't. Are you going to listen to them and stay on this side? You're still valuable. He's still powerful. Except you have allowed a crowd to keep you apart. So when we decide to move through the crowd, we disallow excuses. I was trying to see who's got what one. We disallow excuses. Excuses can be like, my pop suffered from this, my dad suffered from this, so this is a family pattern. I'm stuck here, or you can choose to push past it. And when you push past it, you experience breakthrough. They may be a resource thing. Who's got that one? No, not there. Didn't print that one off, obviously. Resource. I didn't print that one off, so there goes my analogy. I'll still say it anyway. I don't have the resource to do what I know God has called me to do. But when you push through the obstacles, who's got that one? Obstacles. Yeah, when you push through the obstacles, you break through. You know, like, who's God? Your situation or a God who has limitless resources? What are you believing? Are you believing the excuses or the obstacles, or are you believing the call that he's placed on your life? Fear. Fear. Fear for me is a big one. I know fear is just fear. It's not even real. I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm not saying it's not real. There is nothing tangible about it. Yet when I choose to walk past it and deny its voice, I beat it. What about opposition? Opposition that is stopping you from going to the source. What does Jesus say to this girl as she pushes past all of these obstacles, all of these oppositions, these fears, these options? As she pushes past each of them, she has a breakthrough. What does Jesus say to her? your faith has healed you. Your journey and your faith has healed you. Now you are side by side. Thanks, guys. You can all sit down, but stay there, Jesus. Now you are side by side. You push past. You're side by side with Jesus. You know, for me, a lot of the opposition I found was internal. So it is time. It's time to push past whatever it is that is your internal opposition that is stopping you from going to the source. You need to push past internal, external oppositions, options, fears, excuses. Jesus is waiting over here for you. He is available. He is willing. He is powerful. And we just have to make our way. We just have to make our way through the crowd. We just have to make our way through whatever it is that is stopping us from reaching out and touching the source. What is it that's stopping you in your life? Thanks, Zach. It says in James 4 verse 8, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's powerful. And she thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, if I can get there, I'll do whatever it takes. She literally crawled through the crowd on hands and knees. What is it that you dream for? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to see that happen? Will you crawl on hands and knees? She thought to herself, if I just touch the hem of His garment. The beautiful thing about this is her body was sick, but her spirit wasn't. Her circumstances were unwell, but her spirit was alive and full of faith. Today, she was going to defy the odds. And I want to ask you, what does it mean for you to push past the crowd? Personally, in your circumstances, to get your best life, the thing that God intended and destined for you to do, what does it need for you to do? What do you need to do this week? What do you need to do next month to hit 2018 running towards your godly inbuilt potential? What does that require for you? What do you need to do? What do you need to lay aside? What do you need to restructure in order for you to get there? What do you need to push past? And she pushes past and touches the hem of His garment, and she's healed instantly. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. She receives a miracle, the thing that she has been wanting for 12 years. I'm so encouraged when I read this, because often it's 12 years or 30 years or 40 years, and that kind of makes me feel better, because from time to time, this might only be me, and if it is, I'm okay with that. From time to time, I can feel like I'm not doing a good job, because whatever it is that I'm dreaming for hasn't occurred in 2 weeks. And as a matter of fact, it's okay, because it's a journey. It's a journey, and the thing she has waited on and has suffered through for 12 years, she receives in an instant. But then she pulls back into the shadows. Often when life has beaten us down and we are outside the city, being in the shadows is the only way we know how to live. So when she's sitting in the shadows and Jesus is like, "Who touched me?" The disciples are going, "Are you kidding? Who touched you? There's a mass crowd rubbing up against you." But in every translation, it says He stopped and waited. I reflected upon this. Stopped and waited. I love this part, because God is making a point. He never did anything by accident. He's making a point. He was adamant of calling into account the person who had just received the miracle. He knew it was her. And he was waiting for her. And he wasn't going to do anything else. He wasn't going to do another thing until he was able to validate her existence. What is it about us that tells us we are not important? What is it about us that tells us we are not important? It's the enemy that tells you to tone down. You're not important. You're not as important as that person over there. When Jesus is standing there saying, no, I'm not moving until I validate you as a person. I'm not moving until I can stand toe to toe, nose to nose, eye to eye, and look you in the face and tell you, daughter, I'm proud of your faith. Your faith has made you well. It's your faith that has healed you. What is it about that lie that we allow it to speak to us day in, day out? And we say to ourselves, we are not important. Just because you are unseen by the world does not mean you are unseen by God. And it says that she has this revelation. And I pray this morning that some of us here might also have this revelation. And in verse 47, seeing she could not go unnoticed, let the Spirit of God speak to you, if that's you. Will you see that you will not go unnoticed? The world might not see you, but God sees you. And he's saying, who was that? Come out. Where are you? I don't care who is waiting for me. Jairus, you can wait 3 days. I am not moving until this person comes out of the shadows. Because I want to validate them. I want to remind them. I want to remind you that you are a son or a daughter of God. You are valuable. You are seen in the unseen. You cannot go unnoticed. Will you hear his beckoning? Will you hear his calling? He wants you to know he is not ashamed of you. The world needs your individuality. The world needs your humility. But humility is not hiding in the shadows. Humility is knowing what you are and living within that and saying, God, use me. Today he wants to validate you. So this morning, firstly, we go to the source. Secondly, we come out of the shadows. And thirdly, we testify.